The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back to have a look at the Premier League after another less than inspiring midweek of Champions League action for English clubs and the Europa League, where Tottenham, have got a massive mountain to climb to get anything out of it. Arsenal and Man City getting, I suppose, creditable performances, but no result. Derek McGovern and Ryan Atkinson on the line to look at the Premier League games. Both well?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
No Robbie Savage today. He sat on his backside, then he stood up again, then he sat on his backside and he stood up again. He's doing this battle of the backsides with
Alan Shearer. To be fair to you, that's the first time he's ever put bums on seats.
Especially at Wembley.
Exactly. He's had enough, his backside had enough training, all the words that have been spoken out over the last 6 months.
Yeah. If you want to donate to the Sport Relief, by the way, it's £5, I think, and you can find it all on the Sport Relief website. They're doing a grand job at Wembley. We're going to look at the four TV games, and there's some belters as well, and then the non-telly games, starting all with Hull versus Manchester City. Hull are 6-1 at home. The draw is 17-5, and Manchester City are priced up at 4-9. They pretty much ran themselves into the ground, Man City. Unlucky to come out as a losing side. They're facing a team here, Ron, in Hull, who FA Cup semi-finalists. The home form has been decent, of course. They've had some good results against the bigger clubs. Long and Jelovic come back into the fray. How easy is it for Man City to pick themselves up and go to Hull at Saturday lunchtime after playing Wednesday night?
Well, two things come here. If they don't, they could find themselves 12 points behind by tea time, couldn't they?
Yeah, and the pressure from Mourinho's comments on them a little bit as well.
I think it's a very tricky... I'll tell you what, it's one of those, to use one of my little thing, is logic tells you Man City should win. 6-1 would tempt everybody to have a bet on Hull, who've got a big adrenaline rush at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, they'll definitely have a feel-good factor. They've gone off the ball, haven't they, City? I mean, they were all, to me, they had a steady little spell at the new camp, but they were all second best.
Yeah.
They really were. I thought they had little moments, but they were never as convincing as... I thought Barca had the game wrapped, and they were lucky to get away with two very big decisions early on, weren't they? For me, I'd have a little fancy there for Hull City. 6-1 is very, very tempting.
Mm, yeah, it is. I mean, you look at some of the results in Europe, Derek, and what they've done afterwards. By no means, you know, every game they came back from beating Victoria Plzen and beat United 4-1, and beat Everton 3-1 after losing to Bayern Munich at home. But some of the other games, you know, when they lost to they beat CSKA Moscow away from home, came back and lost at Chelsea, beat CSKA Moscow at home in the Champions League, lost away at Sunderland. You move forward a little bit, and there was a loss after one of the games this year. Oh, they only beat Stoke 1-0 after losing 2-0 in the first leg. Will they have a problem here, do you think?
Saturday morning doesn't help that.
No,
not fair on them, really, is it?
But you know. Difficult to want to read this. I mean, you've got to think if City... Think back, it was only a few weeks ago we were giving them all the plaudits, and I was stupidly, as it seems now, calling them the best side in Europe. Oh, my God, how long ago does that seem now? But if they're anything like that, if they're, you know... They were playing like the best side a month or so ago. And, you know, they'd only have to get back to 75% of that form to give Hull a thrashing. It's 4-9 now, and the way they're playing, it really is short. I think, you know, I just think City, what they've got to do here, they don't have to put on a performance, they don't have to wow the world, they just have to get 3 points, because if they don't, it could be goodbye to title. And I think we'll see a terrible game and City nicking a 1-0 win. People talk about Hull's great record at home, but the last 7 Premier League home games, they've won 1, lost 4 and drawn 2. It's not great, is it? City unbeaten in their last 7 away in the league anyway.
No.
I'm going to go for City to win narrowly. I think I'll go, rather than back them at 4-9, because you could look like a chump there, I might just go back. I'll back them to win 2-0. Because even with Jelovic and Long back, I'd sooner back them away from home than at home.
Yeah, I get that. Well, one little stats bet, if you like betting on stats and corners, this might be a good one. There's no odds yet. There will be by Saturday morning, of course, probably even Friday evening. Man City have had the most corners this season, 199, And no team has fewer than Hull, 120. So on the handicap markets, on the corners, maybe we're looking going
I'll
high,
tell you
high
what,
on that.
You won't have it to hand, but I'll bet you Hull have scored more from corners than Man City.
Yeah, do you reckon? I don't think we have got that, actually.
Because I tell you what, every time I see them play, either Curtis Davis or the kid Bruce, I think that's what he's in the team for, by the way, his dead corners in. But they seem a threat on there, funnily enough.
Yeah.
I like that 6-1. I fancy Hull.
Tight defence as well. Only conceded 35 goals this season. That's level with second place Liverpool. Aguero's an injury doubt, by the way, after coming off with a muscle pain. Hull are pretty much at full strength as well with Livermore. He's rated as a doubt, but he should be able to play in the centre midfield next to Huddleston. So, I mean, even from a betting perspective, Derek, even if you can't quite go for the 6-1, it's one of those bets where it gives you a bit of insurance, doesn't it? You know, if you fancy them in some way, a plus one is, you know, for Hull is 11-8. You know, the draw no bet maybe is another. If you fancy Hull.
I know, but I just can't see City slipping up again. I mean, you know, this game is so important, isn't it? I mean, it's the be all and end all of their season, this one game now.
Let's have a look at the evening game, which is Aston Villa versus Chelsea. Similar kind of game in a way. 6-1 Villa, 3-1 the draw, 1-2 Chelsea. So the odds are fairly similar as well. Chelsea have got Galatasaray in the week, of course, and they'll know what City have done. So Mourinho's comments last week will either have heaped pressure onto his own players or will have worked an absolute charm. No doubt it'll be the second of those two options, won't it? Yeah. Knowing the way Mourinho works. Aston Villa, Derek, we don't like them at home generally. It's kind of become a bit of a rule. Had a break last week, so nice and rested. Benteke, despite your reservations, scored a couple of goals. One of them was an absolute belter. I mean, Chelsea just keep going. Their away form isn't amazing, though, is it?
No,
They won't have an eye on Galatasaray, will they? They'll take this seriously.
This is more important, wouldn't you?
I'm not saying they will wrap it up, but if City don't get everything out of that game at Hull, they could almost win the title with this.
Exactly. And they've got a very good record at Villa Park as well, haven't they, Chelsea? In recent seasons anyway. They won 2-1 last season, 4-2 the season before. Everyone's going on about Villa's failure to score goals this season, but in two of their last three home games, they've rammed in four goals, 4-1 against Norwich and 4-3 against West Brom. But that was against Norwich and West Brom. This is Chelsea. They're winning, getting points without pulling up any trees, Chelsea, aren't they? You know, just doing it. You look at them and you think, no, it's not a team I want to watch. And yeah, there they are, 9 points clear. Like the City game, I just can't imagine them slipping up against Villa. I think Chelsea, if you're looking for bankers, you know, if your skin's after Cheltenham, I think Chelsea are bankers here.
Yeah.
And don't forget, they've had a clear week as well, haven't they? I mean, you made reference to the fact that they haven't played for a while.
Exactly.
But Chelsea have had a clear week and... Yeah, I fancy Chelsea. I think they're going to get into that remorseless thing. And all right, the Villa winning four the last time out was a bit of a lift for them. But I suppose the only thing that would be, you know, the 6-1 would be encouraging people to have a double number. And probably if they're playing anybody else but Chelsea, 6-1, you might be tempted. But I think Chelsea are in that remorseless thing now.
Yeah. A couple of players who have got track records against Villa. Frank Lampard. Lampard scored more goals versus Aston Villa than any other opponent in the Premier League history, 13. And another man who we talk about now and again, I know Derek likes him a lot, Branislav Ivanovic, scored 4 goals in 7 Premier League games against Villa. That's twice as many as he's got against any other club. So if ever you want to back Ivanovic, and 7-1 any time.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a mug bet, isn't it? You know, one of those. But, you know, players do like, you know, scoring against the same clubs. We see it all the time. Lampard, incidentally, price to score at any time is 15-8. So, but, I mean, even Eto's even money. You know, that's the shortest price of any of the Chelsea players. Benteke, 15-8, by the way.
He's got a few goals against Chelsea, hasn't he, Benteke?
Yeah.
You know, you look at these games, and if Chelsea and City were to win to nil, it would be absolutely no surprise at all, would they? You get like 11-8, 6-4, and Chelsea have only conceded 3 goals in their last 10 matches. You know, I don't see Villa scoring past them.
Really? Yeah. See, I think I'd be more tempted to have the plus one double on Villa and Hull.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that is ambitious, but there's something about these games that
I tell you an interesting one. What's Cahill to score?
Cahill is priced up at 8-1.
He's a bet. You watch him on every corner. I know Ivanovic is the same, but Cahill's the number one threat, I think, on them things.
Yeah.
And playing against the Villa and. There's still rankles with a lot of the Villa fans why he's allowed to leave in the first place.
Yeah. And by the way, him and Terry have improved so much during the season, haven't they?
Well, I think I'll tell you what, I would not be opposed if somebody said put bring them as the England team in the World Cup.
Yeah,
I know they'd all go, the baggage, there's this, there's that. I wouldn't give a about that for the manager.
He's only got one this season as well, Cahill. So if your betting philosophy includes he's due one, then he might be worth a little bet. So we're going.
I'm going Chelsea.
Chelsea and Chelsea 20-0 for you, Derek.
Yeah, 11-8.
Yeah, very good. Let's move on to the Sunday games, and both of them are absolute crackers. Manchester United versus Liverpool. First up, 6-4 Man U, 11-5 the draw. Liverpool 15-8. What a quandary David Moyes must be in here, Ron, because, you know, you need some confidence going into that Olympiacos game. That Olympiacos game is their season. Liverpool are the best counter-attacking team in the division. They're the best attacking team in the division. They score so many goals. They're on a crest of a wave. They've had a little break. 59 points, that, you know, the second position, which is miles more than they would have expected this season. Man United, how do they set up here, Ron? Do they set up to contain Liverpool? Do they try and play them at the, you know, go and attack them? What do they do?
The best I've seen United play this season was the first half an hour against Arsenal at Old Trafford. They went bang at them, right at, and this when Arsenal were top of the league and playing better than anybody in the country at the time. They went bang at them and squashed them back in there and took the game to them. And I think they've got to do that. I think they've got to get on the front foot from the word go. And get at Liverpool, because if Liverpool have an obvious weakness, it's at the back, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you allow the Gerrards and the Suarez and the Sturridge and the Coutinhos to get going, and Henderson as well, and Sterling, then you might have problems if you allow them. But I do think at the back they've got, if they had, for argument's sake, even Arsenal's back four, but if they had Chelsea's back four, they'd romp the league.
Yeah.
I think they would, and I think that's. I think they've got to try and put pressure on that. He's making all the right noises today, and Ivan Persie. You know, they need, because I don't think they can look at the Olympiacos game. You know, I think if they can win this one, they'll beat Olympiacos.
Yeah.
And I just got a feeling that they might turn in a top performance.
Mm. Yeah. They've struggled against all the big clubs at home. So yeah. far, but,
hey,
Derek,
they've struggled against everybody at home. Don't worry about that. Yeah. They've only given about two decent performances all season.
Yeah,
but it's a very much a. Do you see? By the way, I read Steve Howard's column this morning. I mean, he was a bit pointed. Like, it's like the next four games will decide David Moyes' future, which I thought was a bit premature. But there was a lot of logic in what he was saying.
Yeah. They did beat Arsenal, to be fair, 1-0, as you know, Ron was alluding to. Look, when you look at Liverpool's away performances, Derek, I mean, you know, they had that spell, didn't they, around October, November time, even into Christmas, when, I mean, they beat Spurs 5-0, but around that there were some pretty poor performances away from home.
The big teams got beat, and then they got beat at Hull, didn't they?
Yeah, since then, though, I mean, they've got five at Stoke, three at Fulham, three at Southampton, the 1-1 draw at West Ham, and lost at Chelsea, of course. I mean, this could be full of goals, though, with both defences.
Well, I'm not sure, you know. I mean, Ron's saying he's expecting a top performance by Man United, but on what basis, Ron? I mean, you know, you're doing that on memory, aren't you, Man United?
But you are. But in all fairness, Derek, you know full well you can have any derby match in. This is a bigger derby game than any other match in the division.
Yeah.
Whoever, this is a bigger match in terms of bragging rights, if you like, than the City game, for argument's sake. Yeah. I tell you, if you said to any Man U fan, who'd you sooner win the league, City or Liverpool, they'd all say City.
Yeah, they would.
You know, I mean, that's unbelievable. So,
well, it'd be the same in Liverpool. If you said Everton or Man United, it would be Everton, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to this, you mentioned in the column questioning David Moyes. Listen, Ron, had you put me in charge of Man United this season, right, would they have done any worse? They couldn't possibly have done any worse, could they?
Well, you'd have done it on purpose. Like, you'd have been like crocking your own players for the way out in the dressing room.
All right, let's just say they had
poisoning.
Let's say they played without a manager. Let's say they had no manager.
Okay, yeah, fine.
They wouldn't be doing as badly as this, would they? You know, how can his job not be questioned?
That is an interesting question, Ron, isn't it? Had they played without a manager, would they be better? I get what you're coming from there.
Yeah, I mean,
because the idea before the season was that these players are so good and so used to winning that whoever managed them, they would be able to, like Chelsea did a little bit under, was it Avram Grant maybe, when we said they just kind of managed themselves in a sense, with John Terry kind of, you know, leading from the front. Yeah. And we thought maybe Rio Ferdinand and, you know.
Well, yeah, but the trouble with United at the moment is most of the players that you would say are the leaders aren't playing.
Just gone over the hill as well, a little bit maybe as well.
Yeah, they haven't played. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. Not as simple as that, but that is a very valid reason.
Well, you wonder if, you know, Giggs and the other, you know, the other elder statesmen around the club have had the influence that they probably would have
expected.
Well,
yeah, I mean, there is strong rumours that he's the next one for the job.
Who, Giggs?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it? That would be a major surprise. I mean, it used to be, playing United, before or after the Champions League match, that was a good time to play them. Now the best time to play them is this season. you just wonder whether the Olympiacos game will play on their minds. I know Gary Neville was talking there earlier this week that, you know, it's got not unimportant, Olympiacos. All that matters for United is Liverpool this weekend.
Yeah. I think if they're playing anybody else apart from, say, Liverpool or City, I think there would be a priority. The Olympiacos game would be prioritised. I'm going for a Manchester United win.
And it would be no surprise to see me going for Liverpool, Lee. I just think have a 2-1 to beat a side out of there for the taking. And I'm not sure that they won't have an eye on Olympiacos. I'm going to go for Liverpool here. All day long.
Okay, fair enough. A few stats around goal scorers. I mean, there's lots to go at here. Daniel Sturridge scored in his last two league games against Man United for Liverpool. Robin van Persie scored 6 in his last 7 starts against Liverpool. First half might be worth having a look at, you know, more goals to be scored in the first half, or like over 1.5 first half goals. Liverpool scored 47 goals in the first 45 minutes in the Premier League this season. One more than Man United have in total. In total, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
I know Liverpool have got a lot fewer in the second half, but and don't forget, we say this every single time, but only the Merseyside derby has got more red cards in it than the Liverpool-Man United fixture, 20 versus 14.
Do you know what's standing out as you're saying that? As I'm saying that, two players have stand out for me. One is Rooney,
yeah,
and the other is Fellaini.
Just
as you're saying that, I'm looking at it, I thought, what price one of them to get sent off?
You could see that. There's a little quirky one there. You'll do a little dance if this comes off, I reckon. Liverpool have been awarded more penalties than any other Premier League side this season, 7. And Manchester United have not conceded a penalty at Old Trafford in the Premier League since December the 31st, 2011. Well, if Liverpool get a penalty, there'll be Scousers dancing all over the place, won't there?
It'll never happen.
Absolutely love that, wouldn't they? One final one. This game features the three players who have been involved in the most Premier League goals, scoring and assisting. Suarez has had a hand in 34 goals this season, Sturridge 23 and Rooney 21. If it's a 0-0 draw, then go figure. What are we going for then, guys?
Man U win.
6-4.
Yeah. Liverpool to make 2-1.
And 2-1, straightforward.
2-1. What's 2-1?
2-1 is 8-1.
Yeah.
Suarez to score and Liverpool wins 4-1. Rooney to score and a Man United win is 4-1. And Van Persie and Sturridge both to score. That's priced up at 7-1. That's not a bad bet.
No.
7-1 for them both to score in the game.
2-1 runs to scoreline. It's been that scoreline that's fixed in 3 of the last 4 seasons.
Has it?
Yeah.
It's nice. And I think we've said before, that's the most popular scoreline in the Premier League, I think. To follow up from that, if that's not enough, we've got Tottenham versus Arsenal at 4 o'clock. 11-5 Tottenham, 2-1 the draw. Arsenal are priced up at 7-5. Well, of course, Arsenal didn't have the greatest week in Europe because they went out, but you know they've not been beaten by Bayern Munich on either trip in the last two trips to there. Obviously, they've having been beaten in the first leg of both those occasions, but not many teams can say they haven't been beaten at Bayern Munich in the last two trips. Maybe give them some confidence. I'm not really sure. Tottenham, last thing they've got is confidence here, Derek, because you know, after the manager said what he said after the Chelsea game, they didn't really show an awful lot more playing Benfica. They're out of that tie now. There's no way, you know, highly, highly improbable that they would go Benfica and get through an aggregate now.
Yeah.
Where do the players get? I mean, you think this is the kind of game that you would definitely want, you know, to get your players back fighting and going for it. But, I mean, you know, Tottenham all of a sudden look bereft.
They do, and you look at the squad. I mean, the squad last week, or the game against, was it Chelsea? I looked at that and I thought, they're going to get a pace in here. And they're there to be opposed, aren't they? I mean, they've had so many post-match inquests recently. Their new technical director is Quincy, I think. It just seems to be there every week. They're having one, and they're just a poor side there for the taking right now. I don't think Arsenal are in any great shakes, by the way.
I actually think, I know it. And he's got rave reports. I thought they played Oxlade-Chamberlain in the wrong position. And he played very, very well, although he didn't. He always threatened us if he was going to. I mean, he had about 2 mazy runs that didn't quite come off.
Yeah.
I would have sooner seen him in a wide area supporting the front player, because I thought they were limited. Every time they knocked it up, they'd either got to play a perfect ball or it was going to come straight back at them.
Yeah.
I thought they were just waiting and hanging on. Sometimes, you know, they that defensive system away from home, you got nowhere to go when you win the ball. So you're fiddling little five-yard passes outside your own box, and eventually you lose it.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd sooner play defensive with two wide at the top and one up the middle.
Yeah.
And pin them back a little bit. I think that's a better way of defending.
Yeah.
I thought Arsenal, you got quality players, got nowhere to go with the ball, like Cazorla and people like that.
Yeah.
Then they're having to play little five-yard back passes and things like that. They eventually got pressed out of
it. It was no surprise to see Sonogo benched, was it?
No, not at all.
I mean, I've been massively... I'm going to back Arsenal in this game just because they're taking... But, you know, if Sonogo is playing up front for them, I'll change my mind and go for the draw. But if it's the Arsenal side that you think it's going to be, yeah, Gunners for me.
Well, he's got to go full strength, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the FA Cup semi-final in, what, April or something like that. All he's got to do now is focus on trying to make sure they make some sort of a challenge for the league. I mean, they got players dispirited and running out of form, they're running out of players, aren't they? I mean,
yeah,
central defensive now. I mean,
yeah.
Vertonghen's injured, isn't he? He gave the impression he wasn't going to be fit for the weekend.
And now, Carl Walker's a big doubt, and Sandro's a big doubt.
Dawson's out, isn't he?
Yeah.
I would guess, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying that Vertonghen might be back here, Ron, but whether they're back or they're not in the team or not, they're not fit. You know, a lot of them are carrying pretty substantial knocks now, and the defence...
What's happened to the likes of Dembele and people like that?
Yeah, it just seems to have faded. I don't understand. I don't know what's happened to Dembele.
Dembele, because he missed it with a hamstring injury, the Benfica game. So, there's just a lot of niggly injuries around. It's like what you always say, Ron. If they're in the FA Cup final this weekend,
no,
they'd all play.
But
there's just a bit of a stink around Tottenham at the minute, isn't there, to be fair?
Yeah.
And you wonder about some of the commitment. The manager said that, hasn't he? So it must be true. He wouldn't say that in public if he didn't believe it, I guess. But yeah, with their problems, 7-5 could be good for Arsenal, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think they are worth a bet, yeah.
This fixture's seen almost the most goals in Premier League history. Liverpool-Newcastle has featured 126 goals. This one's featured 125. Adebayor has scored more goals than any other player in North London derbies. 8 for Arsenal and 2 for Spurs. So maybe he'll be on the score sheet. And Olivier Giroud has scored the opening goal in 7 different Premier League matches this season. So he's a good bet for first goal scorer, not just any goal scorer. Only 5-1 though, so a little bit short. The non-TV games, let's start with Everton versus Cardiff. 4-11 the price for Everton at home. 100-30 the price for the draw. And Cardiff are priced up at 9-1. Well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been saying for a few weeks that the performances have been better than the results. And they finally got both. A 3-1 win against Fulham, which took them to 25 points. Level on points with West Bromwich Albion. Everton, 7th from 48 points. All about not quite getting into the Europa League for them, I guess, Derek.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon that's the main aim for a lot of these clubs.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much mileage in it for Everton, does it? Much more so for Cardiff, who, you know, got a great win for them last week and keeps alive their chances of staying up. You look at the Cardiff team, and I've actually thought, well, they should be better. They should be better. You know, there are some players there who've been around, and you know they've got a bit of talent. And you look at their team sheet, and you look at some of the others around there, and you think, well, they could actually stay up. That result could kickstart them. But then again, I've opposed Everton a few times because of big prices at Goodison, and I look at Chump all the time. They just keep grinding out narrow victories. What I think I'll do here, Lee, because I can't make my mind up, is I'll go for Cardiff with a start. Cardiff plus 2 goals is just under evens. And the thing about Everton, they don't really murder anybody.
No.
You know, they'll grind out wins without murdering teams. So Cardiff with the 2 starts just under evens looks a good way to go.
Ron, the home form from Everton.
You look at it and you think,
6 on the spin now.
See, I think Everton have lost a little bit from early season. But when I look at the home record, you go, hang on a bit.
Mm.
And do they always win the game late? They seem to me to get a lot of... Well,
yeah, that Lukaku goal came...
They seem to get a lot of late winners.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they were 1-1 with Swansea until after the hour mark. They were 1-0 down to Villa, then they scored in the 74th and 85th. These are all at home, by the way. 1-0, winning 1-0 against Norwich, and then scored after around the hour mark again. So, yeah, they do score late goals. Yeah,
I think Everton narrowly... Is Jagielka back, do we know?
Rated as a doubt, but he says he won't be rushed back.
Because Kenwyn-Jones could put the young kid about. They play Stones at centre-half,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah,
they could put him about a little bit, but for all that, somehow or other, Everton get it done, don't they, at home?
Yeah, that's the thing, Ron.
Yeah, Everton get it done at home, so I'd be going for Everton. And once again, interesting to see if that scoreline stands up 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, the other way to play maybe with that idea, Ronnie, 2-1 by the way is 8-1. The other way to play it with your thoughts on the late goals is the draw at half time, Everton to win at 3-1.
I was half tempted on that, but
Cardiff keep it tight. Right? Yeah. We kind of haven't scored a goal away from home in the last three. Goal they scored away from home was at Bolton in the FA Cup.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'll go Everton 2-1.
Stoke West Ham next, 13-10 Stoke, 2-2 on the draw. The Hammers are priced up at 12-5.
Have I just seen a quote? Did Sam win manager of the month?
Daniel Sturridge and Sam Allardyce win player and manager of the month.
Alright. Yeah.
I tell you what, Real Madrid will be after him soon.
Who was the player of the month?
Sturridge.
Oh, Sturridge, yeah.
Well done to Big Sam. That means they'll lose this game, doesn't it? By the laws of football tradition. Stoke are on 31 points, same as West Ham. West Ham are ahead of them on goal difference, got a 10 better goal difference on -4. Stoke at home, pretty good. Your Premier League form, lost that game to Liverpool, which is a bit of a crazy game. That's the only loss at home since the 29th of September when they lost 1-0 to Norwich, which is good. West Ham, of course, have been in really good form, lost 1-0 to Everton last time out, but before that they'd won four games on the spin, Ron. It's an intriguing game. Won't be one for the purists. You wouldn't have thought this, would it?
No, and I fancy West Ham will go there and get a draw. Actually, the standout draw for me would be 1-1 on that.
Well, I'm surprised you say that, Ron, because I think there'll be under zero goals. It's got nil-nil written all over it, this one. When you said Stoke and West Ham on the same number of points, it surprised me that, because you asked the man in the street who's perceived to have had a better season, they'd say West Ham after recent results.
Yeah, well, they've got a game in hand, but, you know, got to win it, haven't you?
Yeah, but don't forget they've come from well deep, haven't they?
Yeah, but Stoke have never been completely safe, have they?
No, but Stoke have never actually flirted with the bottom three, whereas... Yeah. Just after Christmas, when they had those two cup results, those Man City things, West Ham looked almost dead and buried.
See, you look at it and you think if both sides got a point, they'd be made up, nudged them further away from the pack below them, and yet 0-0 for me. 0-0. I've never seen a game more likely to finish 0-0.
Yeah, all Wigan, by the way, I should mention them as well.
I'll go 1-1.
Charlie Adam and Walters are both missing from this. Yeah. So there's a couple of stalwarts for them, a couple of big workers. So they're both banned.
Well, West Ham to keep a clean sheet, then 5-2. I mean, there's been 24 0-0 draws in the Premier League this season. West Ham have been involved in 23 of them, I think. 5-2 to keep a clean sheet against Stoke, who don't score that many. That looks a good bet, that one.
The headline offers revolve around two of the tallest players on the pitch, probably the two tallest players on the pitch, actually. Peter Crouch to score and Stoke to win 3-1. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win 5-1. This is one of those games, Ron, where you'd want a bet on a header to be scored.
Wasn't there some statistic until I think Crouch got where Stoke had scored the fewest number of headed goals or something?
Yeah, well remembered.
Yeah, good one for the bookies because it probably wouldn't land.
The ball won't land in this game.
I'm never surprised when Crouch nicks a goal. But I must admit, I am when Carroll does.
If you're watching match today and West Ham have scored, expect the commentator to say, that's their 800th goal in Premier League history, because they're on 799 at the moment. So if it isn't a 0-0 draw, as Derek predicted, then you might hear that. Swansea-West Brom next. Odds on for Swansea at home, 19-20, 11-5 the draw, West Brom 16-5. Hard to back Swansea at odds on, Derek, but hard to back West Brom at any price.
Well, exactly. It's the same. I think the similar odds to when Swansea played against Palace a couple of weeks ago, and I went for Palace that day on the odds ground, and I finished 1-1. You're right, how can you back West Brom? You know, the manager, by all accounts, seems to be popular among the players, but his methods aren't. You know, he's they're not used to his style of play. And the results have been diabolical. Something inside me says they're worth a bet at 16-5, but I can't articulate what it is. I've got no idea.
There's a suggestion Meachu might be back in there.
Yeah, he's back in training, isn't he, Ron, after months out, so they're just waiting to see whether to risk him or not, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
no need to risk him, really, is it, at the moment, I suppose? So, I mean, you know, they're inching towards...
They're only 29 points.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're safe. They just seem to be inching the way there, don't they?
Sunderland have got two games in hand on them, and they're only 5 points behind. And the Sunderland the second bottom.
I've
got no idea in this game. I'd go for a draw.
I'm going to go Swansea. I do really fear for
Pepe Mel.
For West Brom. Well, yeah.
Considered four at Villa, three at Palace, didn't they? The last two away games.
Yeah. And your man's out as well. He's been one of their better players, Brunt. He's out for a while.
They're saying he'll go, Ron, if he loses this game, Mel.
Well, I think we discussed it on Monday, didn't we? I wouldn't be surprised to see. I think it's a big weekend for both Chris Hughton and him, you know.
Yeah, Chris Hughton's 5-1. Pepe Mel's 8-15.
Yeah,
Tim Sherwood, by the way, 4-1 now. He's been gambling quite a lot after last
night.
Tim Sherwood, 4-1. Is in between those two. No manager is 5-1, by the way. And we are quite late into the season, so. Yeah, a Swansea win for you, Ron.
In a funny way, that might be the best bet out of the lot.
Yeah.
You know, 5-1. Decent odds, I think, that.
Swansea have benefited from 7 own goals this season, more than any side in the in last season. Man United had the most with 6 last year. 8-1 for an own goal in this match. Boney and Anichibi are the headline offers. Boney to score, Swansea win 3-1, Anichibi to score, and West Brom to win 7-1. Seems unlikely.
That's what you can't. You look at sides and you think, yeah. I look at Swansea and think, well, they play possession, they did, but I could see Boney getting a goal.
Yeah.
I look at West Brom and I can't see who can get him a goal apart from one of the centre halves. They would be, you know, a corner, Olsen or McCauley coming up or something like that. But I don't really fancy that there's anybody there, hand on heart, that would say, oh, he's a fair chance he's going to score.
Yeah, see that. One final thing for Baggies fans, who, if you're not depressed enough, if the Premier League had started on December the 1st, the Baggies would be rock bottom.
I'll tell you what, if it had started December the 1st last year, they'd be rock bottom,
yeah, probably
I think.
Would, yeah.
Just a little aside on that, I've got a feeling Swansea are a bit of a bogey side for the Albion.
3-1 last season, 3-0 the season before. They beat them 2-0 in September at the Hawthorns. Yeah, you're right there. Recently, anyway.
Yeah. Next up, Fulham 9-5, 11-5 the draw. Newcastle 6-4 with Alan Pardew. Well, I don't know where he'll be sat actually. He won't be sat in the stadium, that's for sure. He can take the pre-match team talk, I guess, in the hotel, and that's then it's over to the calm, collected John Carver to take charge of him. Lucky, you know, that's fine then, isn't it? But a 7-match ban, 3 of them from the stadium, 4 of them from the touchline, and he's been fined a total of £160,000 in the end by club and FA. How much will it affect the team, Ron, do you think, not being in the state, not being there?
I really don't know. I'll tell you another little story. It happened at Leeds, actually. I used to sometimes, when I was at West Brom, used to like watch the first half from upstairs and then come down on the bench. And I always remember John Wall coming to me, he said, "Boss, do you mind if I say something?" He said, "Well, the boys prefer you to be in the dugout."
All right, yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll be in the dugout then. But, you know, to me, I couldn't quite see.
Don't serve champagne in the dugout, does it?
No.
Colder.
No. But, I mean, sometimes you sit upstairs to get an overall picture. And then you go down to whatever needed, hopefully, doing from down there.
It's a strange thing, though. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but on the odd occasion that you are pitch level,
it's
really strange watching a football match pitch level.
I can't believe managers have the dugout where they are at ground level. I think you can't see anything there. You can't get a shape or anything.
You must just get you. I guess because you're watching training at pitch level all the time, Ron. It must be quite a familiar thing for a manager, but for a fan, it's weird.
Well, it is. I mean, I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised at as well, the tempo.
Yeah.
When you're down there, everything seems like 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes you sat upstairs and think, Christ, I wish they'd put a bit of life into this. Liverpool's was a poor one. The worst out of the lot one time was Forest, where he used to stick you in the Trent. used to have a boat in the Trent once.
You didn't go in the other dugout then because it was a bit higher then that
no,
time.
No, that was the one, wasn't it? I told you that story.
That was someone sent me that the other day, actually.
I told you that story, though, didn't I? What I done with Gluffy.
That's right, yeah. By the way, at the minute, I'm getting sent a different picture of you every week, Ron, on Twitter. Some brilliant. The latest one is a picture of you with the Man United squad, your 18 picture. I don't know if it was the very first season Sharp sponsored them, because in front of you, you've just got an array of electrical goods.
That was our trophy cabinet.
There's a photocopier and microwave, one of them subwoofers that used to be all the rage.
Cuddly toy.
Anyway. What about this one then? Fulham, Newcastle. Yeah. Fulham need it. Well, they're absolutely desperate for a result, aren't they? Otherwise, I mean, the 1-9 to go down now. So
I know. I've given up on them, Lee. I've been trying to, because they're always a big, tempting prices. And I suppose people might say they are now, 2-1 at home, but they just look a poor side going nowhere. And Newcastle, you know, they were terrible rocking. But now, what great results you've had the last couple of weeks, winning at Villa. And then they didn't get the credit they deserved because of all the Pardew nonsense. That 4-1 win at Hull. I mean, what a tremendous result that was.
Have I just seen where Remy's out, by the way, suspended?
Who?
No, he just got a calf injury. Calf injury, not banned, but yeah, he's out.
He's out?
Yeah. Now, and Debussy, he's out with a groin injury.
Yeah, from their point of view, Cisse's up front. I think they're massive outs for them.
Yeah, they struggled before when he went. It was when he came back that the results started to look a little bit better.
I think a draw, I can't really fancy Fulham to beat anybody, really, but looking at that, that's two very effective players missing from their, the team. And I think they'll probably miss them more than the manager. You know, I'll go for a draw on that.
No, Newcastle for me, I fancy them strongly.
Yeah. The record for Fulham is the only encouraging thing, really. They've won the last four Barclays Premier League home games against Newcastle. Ben Arthur might be worth a look if Remy's out. Scored in each of his three Premier League appearances against Fulham. So
there was
one
stat at one time. I don't know whether that's changed this year. I'm trying to think if they've played. Newcastle had a terrible record in London.
Yeah, it was in the Bobby Robson days, that run. I remember that.
I thought it still existed because, your manager coming from. Although, did they win at Crystal Palace the other week?
Yeah, do you know what? It's turned right round, Ron. Now they've won four of the last five games in London.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's gone the other way in really recent times. Another little daft start, if you like betting on in play. There have been five goals in the 85th minute or later in the last five games between these two sides. Next up, Southampton Norwich, 8-13 the Saints, 13-5 the draw, and Norwich are priced up at 5-1. Norwich are in 15th position on 29 points. Just always seem to just hover above the drop zone. Southampton in 9th position on 42 points. A new owner this week, an ice hockey coach, isn't he? Who's come in to oversee Southampton Football Club.
I've missed that.
I've forgotten his name. That's why I just called him an ice hockey coach.
Why did I miss that?
Was it yesterday? It's not the biggest news in the world. He was the Canadian coach who took them to the gold medal.
And what's he doing? What's he come in as like a
German? German. Kruger. He's called Ralph Kruger.
We should expect a fight to break out then at some stage in this game. Then
it could be a nightmare on. That didn't really work, but helped Canada to ice hockey gold at the Olympics, which is like winning the World Cup, to be fair, in the Winter Olympics, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how that translates.
This last one. Did he, Riley?
Yeah. So I don't know what. I mean, you know, apparently he's a great manager. 8-13 for Southampton. Bit short for you, Derek.
It is.
They haven't been great at recently, have they?
No, they haven't. They haven't won a home game for a while.
But Arsenal, Stoke, and Liverpool, the last three home opponents. So I suppose Stoke they should have won that one. But
this is a team that's got nothing to play for, isn't it?
Apart from Europa League, which no one really wants, do they? I keep saying that almost facetiously, but I think
Southampton
true.
Would take it big time.
You think so?
Yeah. I think teams that haven't been in it. And particularly with foreign managers, would want to be in it.
Yeah,
but they're not going to get in it, are they?
Southampton.
Yeah. There's no chance. There's no man behind. There's no hope.
42 point. Yeah.
What price are they to win 3-0?
Why do you say that, Ron?
I just got a feeling that those young England players, Rodriguez and Lallana and people like that. Yeah. I think they'll be having a right go now.
10-1 it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I got a feeling they might. Some Norwich sometimes can do that away from home, can't they? They can take a hiding.
Yeah. I mean, I was just about to go on to their away record, Derek. 4-1, 2-0, 2-1, 3-0, 2-0. These are all their away performances. That's five on the spin, and haven't conceded less than two goals in any of them. It's dreadful.
Well, and what if Southampton win 2-0?
2-0 is 13-2.
All right, instinctively, yeah, as a punter, you're getting a team here, long odds on, 8-13, who don't seem to me, I take Ron's point about the England hopefuls, but I don't see them having anything to play for the team. So they're opposable. How do you oppose them? Well, I'm going to go for Norwich with a starter. I actually think Norwich... I've been a fan of Norwich this season. I know they've had some shellackings, but they've also... There's a few decent results in their record too. Results that, you know, raise eyebrows. I think there's a bit more to come from them. So I'm going to go for Norwich with a start, a goal start at 11-8.
Last game we'll look at is Sunderland versus Crystal Palace. 23-20 Sunderland, 21-10 the draw, and 13-5 for Crystal Palace. Sunderland bottom three and 19 games gone, 24 points, but with games in hand, three on Cardiff and Fulham. And they need to pick up some points, because, you know, you look at the results. Lost in the FA Cup 3-0, lost 3-1 to Man City, lost 4-1 to Arsenal. So that win over Southampton in the FA Cup seems a little while ago now. The League Cup final, obviously, you know, is sandwiched in between all those. Crystal Palace, their form's dropped off a lot as well, Ron, hasn't it, recently? Haven't won an away game since beating West Brom in the Cup. But in the league, they haven't won an away game since beating Villa, which was back on the Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Sunderland got enough about them. The home form's decent.
I would fancy Sunderland. Crystal Palace, as you say, don't travel well. And they're a little bit, you just get the impression, I mean, they had a very, very good start, particularly in home games under Tony Pulis. But you just get the impression that's starting to peter out a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I'd have to fancy Sunderland.
Yeah. They have to pick up the wins at home, Derek, because their away games, I mean, they've got Norwich, then Liverpool, then Tottenham, then Chelsea. Man United and Man City left Sunderland away from home. So at home, they're playing Palace, West Ham, Everton, Cardiff, and Swansea, all winnable, and they have to.
You know that the Sunderland's pick up in form, you know, when they won those cup games and had some decent results. It came as a surprise to me, because I'd looked at their squad and I didn't see how they were going to get out of trouble. I mean, I've still got that bet. It looks like they're going to lose now to finish bottom.
Well, yeah, I've got them to go down.
Yeah.
But you'd still rather have the points on the board than the games in hand, wouldn't you? It's that whole thing, isn't it? I mean, you're in the bottom three.
Exactly. And they seem to have reverted to type. I know they were impressive against Man City, but they've lost, four out of the last five. I can see them going down. Whether they'll finish bottom, I don't know. But, and I actually think Palace will win here. I just look at the Palace squad and I can see a fair few goals in that part. I know they're not scoring at the moment, but I can see players who could score. You've got Glenn Murray coming back. He banged in a load at lower divisions. Thomas Ince could be anything. I'm going to go for Palace here. I think they'll beat Sunderland.
Has he done much since he's been there, by the way?
Ince.
I know he scored in his debut, but...
He scored a really good goal on his debut.
I don't seem to have heard his name.
He hasn't kicked on yet. Yeah. We'll give him a bit of time. I'm going to go for Palace.
Yeah. Bets of the week time. I'm going to pick Robbie's, because I don't think he can think about anything other than sitting down. But I'll let you two guys go first.
I'll go Southampton, because it gives me longer. The one's at lunchtime, isn't it?
Southampton 2-0.
You get done in the lunchtime.
That's it. You're done out. Yeah. I like your thinking.
There's a man full of confidence, isn't he?
Derek,
I'm going to go for Newcastle at 6-4 to win at Fulham.
I'm going to go for Arsenal to win, and both teams to score at 7-2. Thank you, chaps.
All right, lads.
We'll speak to you next week for the Champions League.
Okay, mate.
Cheers,
right,
Ron. Thanks, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.